You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Dallas After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Dallas After Show.
What's up, little cowboys and cowgirls? We're back. Dallas, Season 1, Episode 6, Enemy of My Enemy. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing it big tonight. It was a big episode. I'm your host, AJ Gibson, along with my lovely co-hosts. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Dorinda Barker.
Kelly.
You always forget that you're the girl.
I always look at you.
Differentiate, but
yeah, we go like this.
I know, well, because like all the other shows, we always go like this.
Ladies first.
So, oh, yeah.
Clearly.
I know, you guys are total
confusing.
Gentlemen.
Confusing. I get it.
Respectful. And I'm Ryan, everyone.
Oh, Lord. Respectful? That is not one word that has ever been used to describe you in your life.
Me?
Yes, you.
I have tons of respect.
So, ladies, we're so excited to have you back.
I know.
Since you were hungover and unable to make it last week after the 4th of July.
Sorry. We partied a little too hard, too many firework parties.
I know. We almost missed it, too.
Like, I didn't see one firework.
Yeah, what if no one showed? I did.
I didn't.
Huntington Beach. Beautiful. God bless America.
I didn't even go out till 10 p.m. that night.
You're a mess.
And somehow I damaged myself.
Well, luckily, we're all in one piece, and we're back covering this fantastic show.
Yeah.
We're coming into the second half of the first season.
Yeah.
Episode 6. Big one.
Good.
Picked up where the last one left off. A lot of stuff going on. South Fork now belongs to JR, kind of. We find out that maybe not all of South Fork belongs to JR, though, which is kind of cool. That's one of the big topics of this episode, and I think we should probably start with that.
Yeah.
Mineral rights.
Do you like how I wrote down the word dead instead of deed? I spelled it wrong. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, dead. Who died?
I looked down, dude. I was like, someone's
There's
dead?
No A
in
deed.
What episode did we watch?
Yep. Really fantastic.
That's next week.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, I know.
They did tease that
there's
going to
be
death.
Some good prediction.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I hope Marta doesn't die. She seems like the obvious choice, but she's so crazy.
She can't yet. Like, no. She just has to be, in the shadows for the rest with, knifed pictures everywhere.
She's a chameleon, though, because every time you see her, she looks completely different.
Yeah, I always think they
recast her. She's like the Madonna of Dallas.
Like, three different episodes this season, I thought they recast her. I'm like, is that a new actress again? But she's just wearing, some random, tight dress. She looked hot.
I can only
Amazingly
tell
hot.
The scar.
Amazingly hot.
Her scar and her lip. Like, that's the only one that
I
can...
What are with the women and the scars?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say, because I thought Rebecca got recast after a couple episodes, too. But I noticed she has that scar in between her eyebrows.
Yeah.
And
they're all like Rebecca. Dallas Harry Potters. Like, weird little things. Do you know what I mean? Whenever Cliff Barn gets
all
near.
The Ewings went up against Lord Voldemort.
Exactly.
Well, you did think that
The guy.
The PI guy looked like the guy that turns into a rat.
I swear that JR's henchman is the guy who turns into the rat on Harry Potter. I don't even know what he is.
I don't know his name either.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a good fan.
Marta also pulled a fool on NeNe Leakes, and she's like, I'm rich.
Yeah.
I'm very rich.
She did.
Yeah.
When NeNe Leakes, I'm rich, bitch.
Yeah. Too funny.
I love her.
So what is the deal? JR gave away 14% of it?
Apparently he gave away 14% to the what's the guy's name?
Vincent.
Yes.
Vincent to the Venezuelan,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're in bed
with Del Sol's.
Yeah, some dirty people from south of the border.
Right.
And they have to, if they don't hit their deadline to get the oil to them, they have to pay an extra, or it's even more than that, because 14% is the starting point, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's 14% of the oil.
Yes.
That's what they have to pay back to them. And I don't know what it is.
Or is that their payment plan?
I thought that was a payment plan, then they lose
Then they lose everything. Right?
Like layaway? Like a payment plan?
Yeah,
sort of.
Well,
okay.
That's right. Like paying a mortgage.
Because
if they're late on the mortgage, they lose it. Oh.
They lose their lives.
The billions of
barrels. They lose the deeds.
Yes.
The deeds to the Moulin Rouge.
every week. I bring that up every week.
Well, because who says deeds anymore? Who has the deeds?
I know.
Well, you know who had the deed.
Jock's father.
Ellie's father.
Ellie's father.
Mr. Southworth. I don't even know who. He was never even alive. Yeah. He wasn't even alive in the original. But his desk is still there, and the key was still hiding in the desk. So originally, let's backtrack a little bit before we get ahead of ourselves, though, before I get ahead of myself. So, Rebecca, they kind of hinted to this last week. I'm not sure if you saw the episode because you were drunk. but last week, Rebecca and Tommy?
Yes.
They aren't those characters from Brothers and Sisters too, Rebecca and Tommy?
Yes.
Somebody needs to change these names.
That just, I saw it hit your brain while you were saying, like, that just hit me.
I'm pretty transparent.
Yeah.
You see the wheels turning? No, they're not. So, Rebecca has been helping Tommy look through these documents to try to find something to kind of nail down this deal and blackmail the Ewings and get control of Southwark and make billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, Rebecca, as we thought last week, wasn't really helping Tommy.
Right.
She was trying to help find a document to hide from Tommy, to take to Christopher, to take to Bobby, to help them get South Fork back.
Right.
Because she wants to get back in Christopher's good graces. He's not even speaking with her right now. She's kind of devastated by it. Because I think she genuinely loves him, which we find out at the end of the episode she does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she's pretty tied to him, which we find out later. So she goes to the house, and the maid lets her in. She's a big part of this episode. She let a lot of people in the South Fork.
I was going to say, the maid just keeps letting people
she's
in.
Yeah. Anybody in.
Sure, come on in. I hate JR. Anything I can do to help.
Does anybody notice, though, every time they walk in and they're like, the maid let me in? Yeah. I don't think she likes you very much.
Everybody's yes.
Or, I don't think she likes
you. The maid constantly has that look on her face like.
Yeah, the maid gives like total shit. She has no lines, but she will like read with an eye. Like,
fierce profile, we call it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fierce profile. Mm. So she lets everybody in. Rebecca goes and takes this piece of paper to Christopher and to Bobby that she sneaks away from Tommy. And the paper basically says that while JR, the sale of South Fork, the actual property to JR through Del Sol is legit. Mm-hmm. However, Mr. Southworth, Ellie's father, had another deed drawn up for the
mineral
rights to the land, everything below the land in South
right.
Fork, mm-hmm. which was divided up equally between the three sons, Bobby, JR, and Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, years ago, had signed over his rights to the minerals to Bobby. So now, if they can find this is a replica that Rebecca's brought to them.
She got an invoice.
Yes, an invoice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if they can find the original document, that means that Bobby now has control of everything below the ground. So JR can, that's exactly the opposite of what they both want. Because JR wants what's in the ground, and Bobby cares more about what's built on the ground.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now
let's just make it more confusing for all of us.
I mean, but it really levels the playing field.
Completely.
They both have something the other wants.
And think about this. Now, the grandfather did this by giving the grandsons this. Don't you think he saw that coming out of Jacques? Because Jacques wanted to drill on the land.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As smart.
Oh,
smart.
Yeah.
I tell you, something about land, because I've seen it before, like in real life, mm-hmm. with land and anything like that. If people see it coming, you always wait to the will.
Right.
And you always know how someone feels about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
I don't think there's any land
I want
in
someone
anybody's
to leave
wills
me.
In my family.
Yeah, I want some land.
Yeah. We have a backyard and a swimming pool. Can you imagine? Like, my parents pass away and they leave the swimming pool to me and, like, the house to my sister. Like, where we come from. We're from elite, we're elite class back
in
Ohio.
You can get what's in the ground with chlorinated water.
Yes, chlorinated water. So, so now, Bobby, not so trusting of Rebecca. Christopher definitely doesn't trust Rebecca.
No.
He's looking at
he's
her
not
like,
having it.
Wants nothing to do with her.
He yells at her, you're a liar.
Yeah, and I think she expected that response, and she handled it. She took what was coming to her, because he has a right to be upset with her.
Absolutely.
Kind of, to a degree.
Yeah.
I also love that, like, when they, like, read each other, like, you know, most people start their cars and rev up and drive up. He has a silent car, so it just goes,
he has, like, an electric car, so and he gets in there, like, I'm going to drive away.
He's like, I don't believe a word you say. And then it just, like, leaves in silence. It's like hanging up on someone by doing this, like just hitting the button. And you can't, like when you used to slam the phone.
Or like watching a horror film where they don't put the sound effect to the knife in, the metal sound.
Yeah.
It's just nothing.
Yeah,
not exciting.
There's no.
I don't like horror films.
I know, you're scared.
You're
scared. I don't know what I almost said. But. So she leaves this document, and Christopher's kind of leery. But then he's like, we'll take it from here. Mm-hmm. She offered to help further. because she's the one who has, you know, the in with Tommy, and because she's kind of playing both sides still. But they're like, no,
we got this.
We got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they go to look for the original document, correct? Mm-hmm, and yes. Bobby decides, hey, there's a random garage on the property
right.
where Ellie's father's stuff is still being stored. And Ryan made the comment, he's like, that's all he has left? I'm like, this guy died in like the 60s. I mean, he was never in the original series, which started in the late 70s. Who knows? I mean, that was Ellie's father. Who knows how long he was gone?
That just talks about they have more storage there than they have rooms.
Yes. why do you need to keep these old things?
Right.
There's a kitchen table out there. There's whatever. But they find Ellie's father's desk. Mm-hmm. And
within 5 minutes.
Yeah. And very conveniently, thank you, TNT, they find a key inside of a boot, like a little toy boot or something that's chilling on the desk. I'm like, it's been sitting there for that long and nobody noticed?
Yeah, okay. Nobody noticed that.
Yeah. No, but it's from the invoice. The deed was drafted. It was like a deed from like 1941 or something.
Really?
It was like something that they must have like redone. Because I just saw the year on it, like 1941. But I want to go back and kind of rewatch it and see exactly what it said because I just caught that tail end of it. So it has to be something that, you know, could have already been around,
but
like
then,
separating those two from a long time ago, and he just went ahead and did it.
So when the original was drawn up, though, it had nothing to do with Bobby and JR, and then if it was drawn 70-some years ago, correct?
I don't know. That's what I want to go back and see, just make sure exactly what I was looking at, because
that's some foresight.
It was, it was interesting.
They find this key, and it's a key to,
Union National.
No,
it's Texas.
Not. Texas National.
Texas National Bank.
You just make up stuff and you don't know.
I don't know.
Union National, once he drinks his whiskey.
Keep things light.
Right. So
Episode.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they head to Texas National Bank with this key, and they get the safe deposit box that had not been opened since...
Since...
He was alive.
Right.
Yeah.
So the 60s or the 70s, who knows how long it's been since Mr. Southworth was around, and they're going through it, and they find some random. What did they find in there?
Found a gun. Paperwork, birth certificate,
Old school Smith and Wesson, Ellie's birth certificate,
and uncle's discharge papers from the armed forces, stuff like that.
So a lot of old documents.
Yeah, but then Christopher did find actually the original deed to the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah,
and. It was, written in, calligraphy. I mean, it was, that's old school.
It was an old school deed.
It was parchment paper.
Parchment paper at all. Yep.
But it looked like it held up pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, it's been in a box, so it hasn't been tampered with. So
okay,
fair
enough. So they find this original deed. Mm-hmm. And, but before this, I think I did miss a point here. Before this, Christopher actually told Bobby, he's like, look, we don't need to look for this deed because he has the DVD. The sex tape, yes.
But here's my problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he think that... Because there's nothing really on it aside from those two knowing each other.
And her real name. That's part of it.
Because basically it showed that he knew her real name, so he knew that this was going on ahead of time. And so what happened last episode was if they get proof that JR knew about this ahead of time, then the whole sale goes off.
Yeah.
Okay. So him going to the police would have then...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And John Ross would be committing fraud. He'd go to jail.
So why didn't he just do it anyway if they were so concerned about
Because...
Why does it always have to go to blackmail?
Here's why. Because last episode as I'm sure you remember, Christopher had the DVD in his back pocket pulled it out to show Elena. Then he put it back in his pocket because Elena made a comment like, John Ross would never hurt me like you do.
Right.
And he was like, okay, and he put it back in his pocket, kind of showing that he actually does love her. And he, as much as he wants to take down John Ross, he loves Elena more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he didn't show her the DVD. If he released that now, she would know about it. She'd be devastated.
Right.
Right.
So it's like a double-edged sword. He doesn't want to destroy her because he still cares about her.
Yeah, exactly. And he's already done enough to her, feels.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't really all of his fault. They were both kind of,
Yeah, but then he put that nail in the coffin from the two episodes.
Right.
When he threw the $20,000 at her, he was like...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're the maid's daughter.
Yeah.
And then he was drunk last episode. He had a really bad day last
week. Yeah, he had a really bad day last episode.
Yeah, it wasn't
okay,
good.
So he tells Bobby that he has this and he wants to try to blackmail.
Yes.
And then your favorite quote was, you know, that he's been people that blackmail an eye for an eye makes both people blind.
Yes. Oh, that's the one I told you to write down. I'm like, I don't feel like writing. I'm eating a cookie right now. I think I was eating. I don't know.
That's what we should do. We should pick our favorite quote, and then that's what we read.
Yeah, that's a good mm-hmm. quote. That's a great point because, you know, blackmailing and being underhanded usually doesn't always work out in your favor, as we're starting to see from tonight.
Yes, and also it's interesting how this is starting to play out because, in general, JR's always been the bad guy and Bobby's been the good guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely moments where Bobby kind of delves into that gray area, obviously. More so out of necessity, I think, over the years. But it's interesting to see now, like, I'm not completely certain that John Ross will just be the bad guy and that Christopher will just be the good guy. Because it looks like John Ross, in moments, is really trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he is a little bit in the dark, and he's getting screwed over by his daddy also. Mm-hmm. And then at other times, I think that Christopher looks like he's just ready to fight. He's ready to fight dirty and, like, Dad, look. JR's been kicking your ass for generations, a generation now. Like,
let's do something about it.
Let's fight fire with fire.
Well, and I think, too, he's still trying to prove himself. And I think that's a little bit where that comes from, is he still wants to prove that he is a Ewing, no matter what anybody says.
Absolutely.
And he's willing to fight for that. So he's being a little, you know, probably more aggressive than he normally would had that, you know, if that factor
also
wasn't added.
Which is also where JR originally was always trying to prove himself. Mm-hmm. Because in the original series, it was Bobby who was, like, the golden child.
Right.
And they were a cattle family initially. Mm-hmm. So I think JR was the new school, the new, you know, idea. He wanted to take the family in a different direction. So that was his motivation for all those years and led him down a darker path.
Right.
So now if Christopher is heading down the similar path, he could very well end up being the one. And wouldn't that create some dynamics?
Absolutely.
The good father, the bad son, and the bad father, and the good son. And now and that creates all kinds of different cross rivalries. And now Sue Ellen's involved later in this episode. And if she becomes governor, I mean, hell. The Ewings own Texas.
That's true.
A lot of shenanigans.
Scary stuff.
Drill, baby, drill.
Drill. Oh. How long did it take us? It took us 16 minutes and 46 seconds to get to our first Republican reference. Sarah Palin?
Yeah, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Nice work, AJ.
There you go.
Anyways, so what else about this deed? Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything I'm not touching on right now? Because at the end of the episode, they take the deed, basically, and they go to John Ross then and say, look, we've got the deed. And Bobby explains to him, well, your dad has a third of it, but I've got two-thirds of it. So
I'm the winner.
Yep, you can sleep here all you want. You can't do a thing to the land.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're all hat and no cattle.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's genius.
Yeah, they have the best one-liners.
They do. They
just like your daddy.
They must sit around like the writers and just have a few cocktails and you know, get crazy.
Yeah.
I saw it, Dorinda. You're so sneaky. Hey, guys, guess what? Let's talk about Amazon. Dorinda.
I mean, she literally was like
this. She literally like this. Hey. Marissa in the box is telling us to talk about Amazon right now, AJ. You're so smooth. Fantastic. Hey, guys, if you have any purchases you need to make, go do them on Amazon. The website's amazing. Everything's so much cheaper.
You get your own big hat.
Take a breath. And you can do so by logging on to AfterBuzzTV.com. You're killing me right now. And click on the banner in the top right corner, the Amazon banner. And all it takes is one extra click. It doesn't cost you another penny. And it really helps us to do what we do. What is it that we do? We subtly tell each other to make commercials.
Exactly.
To go to commercial breaks. No, we're not going to commercial break. But hey, oh, look. Oh, and she's breathing again.
I'm back.
Yeah, if you guys could make your purchase on Amazon through AfterBuzz TV, we'd really appreciate it.
It's really easy.
Yeah, so easy.
I just did
click.
The other day.
It gets a little addicting, actually.
I know.
I'm like, I need to. Oh, I'm gonna go buy something online because I can help AfterBuzz.
Exactly.
I just did it the other day too.
It feels like charity to me.
It feels like it's another day. We can still be here.
You need to pull yourself together.
Yeah, you are a train wreck.
I know. That was funny though.
Hey, AJ, look at that sign in the window. I see it. Ain't my first trip to the rodeo, sweetheart. So.
Rodeo.
Oh, that was a nice little tie-in. Okay, so. JR is in Las Vegas. The first
city.
Thing we see of him, he's got three women massaging him from every angle.
Getting a mani, a pedi, and who knows what else he...
Yeah, that's right. I love JR. He's hilarious.
He's out of control.
He's so badass.
Yeah.
I want to be JR. You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm
not
going to
look at you for the next 10 minutes because you're still recovering, clearly.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yep. Your makeup's ruined, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, it turns out JR went to Vegas now to follow up Cliff Barnes, who's in the casino industry now, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get in on this this $1 million buy-in on this poker game that's going on in Vegas, because he knows that when Cliff Barnes came to town, he really didn't come to town to try to buy South Fork.
There was another plot.
Yes, there's another plot, and he wanted to ruffle JR's feathers and distract him from what he was really doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. JR's no dummy.
Right.
So they've been playing this game
back and forth
for decades, yes. So now he's in Vegas to play in this poker game to really kind of ruffle his feathers and figure out what it is he's really after.
Which he thinks it's bringing gambling to Texas.
Yes.
Which would be insane.
I mean, that it opens up so many possibilities for season two. If mm-hmm. Sue Ellen's the governor and we've got old oil, old money, and this new age methane tsunami causing technology, electric cars, and then we have
gambling.
I mean,
let's go to Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
and I would never go to Texas.
Hey, on my own.
I'm just
you
kidding.
Should
I would
absolutely go. See,
I love Texas.
So many friendly people in Texas.
Yeah,
sometimes
but
that's
what
Tom's. I have that written down. Tommy's
a lot of bushes in Texas.
Texas
a lot of
nice.
Bushes. Way too many bushes for me in Texas.
Stop.
Just
it.
Kidding. I love you, HW. So anyway, so now if this is all going down, there's a lot going on.
Right.
So he's trying to squash this. Mm-hmm. Well, Cliff Barnes sends his assistant, mm-hmm. the
sketchy assistant,
creepy guy,
who I also feel like he was recast because I thought he was the guy from Star Trek.
It's still the same guy.
No, it's still the same guy.
He just put on a few pounds, and he comes to JR's like, hey, basically, what are you doing here? Why are you here? JR's like, I want to get on that poker game. He's like, it's $1 million buy-in, invite only.
You right. can't afford it.
Yep. He's like, from what I hear, you don't have the money. He's like, don't worry about the money. I'll see you later. And he doesn't even ask him to invite him. He just tells him he'll be there.
Yeah. Send me the details. The email, you know, call me with the details.
Right. On his BlackBerry. He's the only one who doesn't have an iPhone.
Yes.
Because this whole entire show is like an Apple advertisement.
Completely.
If you guys pay attention. There's like billboards outside. Everybody has a MacBook Pro.
People are sneaking up on people. Taking
the camera angles are changing.
Silly, silly Apple. We love you. So he leaves. The assistant leaves. Mm-hmm. There's something shady about him because JR then gets on the phone with creepy rat guy from Harry Potter, who's not actually in Harry Potter, but whatever. What's his name? Do we know?
No idea.
I can't remember his name.
Creeper detective.
He calls himself like a bloodhound that he can
do.
Yeah.
The bloodhound.
Yeah, the bloodhound.
We'll just send me the picture, and I will find her.
Yeah.
Did you say bitcher?
Pitcher.
Enunciate.
What's
Carrillo.
A bitcher?
I don't know. You tell me. So he sends his little bloodhound. He calls him up and says, find out about this assistant because there's something up with him, which we all thought, actually.
Right. Yeah. We even thought that when we met him the first time in episode 2.
At Cliff Barnes' house.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When Christopher came over. There.
Yes.
Right.
And then he also says, call Del Sol. Was it Del Sol?
Yes.
And have them wire me $1 million. And he goes, yes, it's fine. Have them wire me $1 million. I want to call somebody and ask for $1 million.
Especially, and you know, he doesn't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know about the deed yet.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting for the next episode. Is, you know, he's over here asking for $1 million and they can't drill.
Well, because what's his name calls JR about John Ross and lets him know that John Ross looks like he's getting in a little over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And JR says, what do you say? I threw him into the
Briar patch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let him get himself out, basically.
Yeah.
Right. This is what I wanted to happen. See how he deals with this.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, it looked like John Ross was going to fall apart. He grabbed his fake oil Derek and threw it to the ground and shattered it, which he later tried to put back together with glue, like a little boy, like he was upset that he broke his like model
in
plane.
In slow motion, it shattered, too.
Yeah.
It was like a full thing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Right.
And when he was getting ready to throw it over his head, it was metal and like wood, and I was like, oh my God, he's going to scratch this beautiful hardwood floor. And then as it hits, I'm like, oh, it's concrete. Okay, we're good.
We're good. Smash it.
I was like, I was looking out for him. Might be some beautiful teak flooring. You never know.
Right.
So John Ross, it looks like he's getting it over his head, but in that moment, it looks like that's the turn from good to evil. It kind of looked like it was kind of set up that way. But he's not really in over his head. Kind of. A lot's going down that he can't really control, but JR always knows best somehow, and he's not stressed, so I'm not stressed yet.
Right.
Sense? Right.
Just go off his stress level.
Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes with John Ross, too, is that he's trying so hard to be that one step ahead like his dad is that he's just not, and sometimes his arrogance kind of gets him in a little bit of trouble, and then he just goes and throws fits like he went to his mother and plays that whole, you abandoned me, you always sacrifice things for me ever since I was born, you never do anything for me, and he's using guilt to kind of get what he wants rather than necessarily just being smarter than everybody
else. And I think also, though, I think what makes his character so complex complex is that I feel like he legitimately feels those feelings.
Oh, absolutely.
He's tormented by being sent off to boarding school his entire life and not having the mother and the father that he wanted to have. So now he's trying to prove himself to his dad. He still resents his mother. And I feel like also he does love Elena.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't send the email and apparently didn't have, you know, as much to do with any of that as we thought he did.
Yeah.
And he genuinely loves Elena. And I think that also holds him back, too, because as she's talking to him earlier in the episode, she's saying, well, now I know you had nothing to do with this. You're a victim like everybody else. Your dad is manipulating, blah, blah, blah. And she's hugging him and holding him. And the look in his eyes as they're hugging is kind of like,
right.
I know a little bit more than you think that I know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think he definitely knows what he's doing, though. Like, even when he went to his mom, I think he knew ahead of time that was the card he was going to play with her. Also, in the beginning, he was prepping Elena, saying, I don't know what Christopher's thinking or what lies he might be saying about me. Like, he is, like, prepping for the worst mm-hmm. all over the place. And I think he's, like, manipulating everybody.
I think John Ross is better at covering up his mistakes. And whereas J.R., he's got the foresight to not make them. He's always mm-hmm. two steps ahead. Right. John Ross is quickly trying to catch up and cover his ass all the time, but JR is always ahead of everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. It just shows. Yeah. It shows his age too. It's
yeah.
kind of like, I mean, he doesn't have the experience.
Mm-hmm. Because when JR's character originally was on the show back in the late 70s, he was still older than
yeah.
John Ross is now, right?
But
right.
Oh,
by
yeah.
a bit. He was like 40 or something.
But then back then,
yeah.
people looked 40, but they were 20.
All, yeah.
Like, it was weird.
True.
Mean, so I don't know how old he was.
Yeah.
But no, they also acted older, too. Like,
right.
they've been around the block. Like, these right. kids, I'm making them sound like these kids.
Yeah.
But they haven't been around.
They were drinking scotch in the morning. You know, we're drinking
yeah.
a vodka Red Bull.
You know
what I mean? It's like a little different.
A vodka Red Bull.
What are you drinking?
In the morning?
Right now.
Not a vodka Red Bull.
Oh.
I'm drinking water right now.
I guess just the wine will do.
How do you think my skin looks like this at age 27?
Right, lies.
Half a decade ago. So, another character I think we need to touch on, Marta.
Oh.
She wasn't in this episode a lot, but she had an impact.
Right.
She did.
That dress had an impact.
Oh, that she, I have to say, for as crazy as she is as hot as she is.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
She's the hottest one on the show.
She is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Hot women generally are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? You can always judge a woman by how crazy is, by how hot she is.
Yeah.
Like, that's the saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's but like she's like the crazy version of, like, Sofia Vergara from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Those tight dresses, those curves, that South American flair, but, like, she's the bad side of it.
Right.
So Sofia plays, like, a funny, like, lovable character. This mm-hmm. is, like, the opposite.
Right.
Yeah. This is, like, if Sofia were on meds and went off of them, this is what she'd become, I feel like. I'm not saying she's on meds. No allegations. But I'm saying Marta is crazy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
She's always popping pills. She's always trying to manipulate people. She's always video recording people having sex.
Right.
Wearing blue boxers. I'm still not sure.
Well, I just
about
love that.
That
she, like, showed up at the house, like, just so tea, like, perfect, ready to go. And she was just like, well, yeah, I've made some mistakes.
Yeah, like, let's move past it. And John
right.
Ross is like,
you've done this, you've done this.
Yeah.
And
well, didn't she
it.
Say she skimmed money off of the South Fork deal?
Yeah.
Well, oh, no, she goes, I got money from the South Fork deal. Like, so whatever the deal went,
uh-huh.
when the deal went through, she got paid
right.
for what
commission
she
did. Or whatever
I thought she
was.
Actually, I thought it sounded to me like
oh,
she
yeah,
got
no,
more
yeah,
off of it
no,
than
no,
just
no.
that.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm so rich.
Well,
so
she
rich.
Offers to take away, to take John Ross and run away.
Yeah.
And he's like, he basically looks at her like, woman, you are insane if you think I'm going. What did he say? I wouldn't
cross the street
with you. Why would I leave the country with you? That's classic.
And he physically pushes
yeah.
her out.
And then he tells a crazy person that she's crazy.
Yes.
You number one rule with crazy people, you never tell them that they're crazy.
Like, I would never tell her she's crazy.
Oh, hell.
Did you see those eyes she just gave me? Crazy.
Don't do it.
She's bipolar. She's laughing one moment. The next moment, she's plotting my death. I love you. Look, I'm not mad at Lil Bipolar. I dated that one for 3 years, so I know
that's,
all
that's
about
not
it.
Let's not even get that started.
New best
so,
friends.
She, yeah. But she is crazy. Legitimately.
Yeah.
And I said, as soon as he left, I said, hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. You could see it in her eyes. She's not going anywhere anytime mm-hmm. soon.
Is that an Ohio unless, saying?
It might be. Relax. So, unless she is the death next week, because they're hinting at a big death next week.
Right.
It can't be one of the main characters, but it could be her. Or it could at least look like she dies.
Right.
She, I feel
I
like
hope
she,
not.
I love her character.
I want her to be in more scenes.
Yeah.
Who could they kill?
Oh,
the assistant, maybe? What's his name from?
No, I still
it could
think
be the guy that threatened him that came in, that he's the one that's doing the deal with him.
Vincent.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
It could be Vincent.
He's kind of boring.
Which I thought Vincent also could have been the one with the knife with on the picture and not necessarily
her. Yes, let's talk about that because we assumed that it was Marta that broke into Elena's house when John Ross went over there and he and Elena walked in. She goes, I swore I shut this door. And she goes to take a shower and he walks into the kitchen and there's a knife inside an 8x10 picture of Elena and John Ross. Mm-hmm. And it's just chilling there, and he's like, "Uh oh!"
Happened to be on the cutting board, though.
Yes, on the cutting board.
Yeah,
didn't want to ruin it. Of course,
exactly.
Yeah,
just like
they're still very respectful when they're being evil in Texas.
Exactly.
Just like how he threw the oil derrick on the concrete floor instead of the nice teak flooring.
Right. You don't want to get crazy.
They're thoughtful.
It's crazy, it's but not too crazy.
It's an expensive show for TNT. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So.
But he doesn't even look around, really. He kind of glances here and there, and then he's out. He just leaves to take a bath.
Yes.
And he's not even real. He doesn't look around the proper. Nothing. Yeah.
Nope.
He just
doesn't
bolts.
Open a closet door. Doesn't
and there's
look
nowhere
under a bed.
Safer to be if there's like a break-in. It would be completely nude in a bathtub. That's because that's real safe.
Because we haven't seen that played out a million times in every horror film
ever. Or how about the South Fork ranch hands? They were like still baling hay like in the middle of the night. Like just randomly. Like make sure you keep an eye.
Hey, Dorinda, are you going to elbow me? Because I think it's time to talk about iTunes, really. Hey, guys. If you guys like our show, if you love watching Dorinda fall apart every time that we get a note to go to a nice little advertisement, let us know about it. Get on iTunes and rate and comment. We will comment back. I love reading your guys' comments, and I love letting you guys know that I appreciate you. Because I do. And also, there's also a new app for your iPhone. It's called Podcasts with an S. And you can automatically have every one of your favorite podcasts from AfterBuzz TV downloaded directly to your phone so you can listen to us everywhere you go.
Or your iPad, too.
But not your iPad 1 like I have. The old version. Not clapping for that, are we? I've got an iPad 1 still that I actually sent him to buy 1 year. We were still together on Thanksgiving Day.
It's always, this is like
I gave him my credit card. I'm like, can you go buy me an iPad? I don't have time. I'm roasting a turkey right now. And he went and got it for me.
Maybe we should do couples therapy.
Right on here on the show.
Part 2 when that comes out on VH1.
So let's move into the big character of the episode. She had, I think, the most dramatic storyline.
For sure.
Rebecca.
Yes.
She's becoming a bigger character than we thought she was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I forgot to write one name down.
Who?
Anne.
Yes.
How did we miss this?
Oh, I want to know.
Before we go into Rebecca, let's cover Anne real quick.
Yeah, and that will be good to talk about Ryland, too.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So, no, we weren't going to mention him at all.
Well, again, the maid, she's everywhere in this episode. She walks up to Anne at one point in this episode and says, these were delivered for you. And she hands her some flowers.
Which were not
that impressive.
No vase.
They smell so
good. No, I know.
Good.
Freesia. I only know what that is because of Bath and Body Works in the 1990s.
I had never heard of it.
It smells so good.
No, it doesn't. So,
fresh flowers.
Not if you're a dude.
They do.
So she gives her flowers, and then she also gives her like a little box, which I thought was like chocolates because I was hungry, apparently, with a card. And she opens the card, reads it, and it's from, what's his name?
Harris
Ryland, the man who had pulled the trucks the week prior. She went and asked him. It's her ex-husband.
Her ex-husband. Yeah.
Right. Yes, he pulled the truck so that JR couldn't get the oil down to the Latin Americans in time. I'm not sure what
by Friday.
From. Yes, by Friday. So she gets this message, these flowers, and also a little box. She opens it up, and there's a necklace inside of it, and she clasps it to her chest and falls to the ground crying as Bobby walks up, like, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. She runs into the house. We've never really seen that side of Anne.
Right. No. She's always been very stoic every episode,
and she completely lost it. Mm-hmm. And then we see her in her room a little bit later, actually putting the necklace on. So, and it looks like a locket. We're all kind of guessing. You guys thought that maybe they had a child together, or lost a child or something years ago, or there's some sort of tragedy behind it.
There has to be for her reaction.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm wondering if maybe, and I can't remember from the previous seasons if it was even mentioned in the first original series. So if anybody knows, please go to iTunes and let us know if you know the significance of this locket or necklace, because I'm really curious.
Because this Ryland character is coming into the show a little more. He's he's getting woven into a couple different storylines. Now we've got the connection with Anne. And also, after John Ross goes to his mom, Sue Ellen, and asks her, she looked great this episode, by the way, her to kind of help him out. She's like, I can't really do that. I made a promise to my constituents or to my backers as I run for the governor of Texas that I'm not going to do any of this shady stuff.
Right. No dirty politics.
And he makes her feel terrible, and then she goes to Ryland because they know each other through social circles.
Right.
So she goes to him, and she's like, look, I have a seat. It was the Texas
the Railroad Commission,
and she says, "I think you'd be great for it if you could just help me out with this." And he's like, "I'm not going to make you bribe me. I'll do it as a favor because I think I picked the wrong side, you know, mm-hmm. to support in this family feud." She's like, "Thank you, I really appreciate it." So he's now tied into her, tied into Anne.
Right, because then he also made a donation afterwards.
Yeah. So
then
she didn't want to take it. Did you see the look on her face?
We don't know if she took it, though, because the scene ended without...
Didn't he grab?
He was holding it, and she was like this, and she had her hand there, and the scene ended. She never actually took it out of his hand.
Yeah. But he said, "You will take it," because people like me need people like you in office.
Yes. Right. So we're not sure if Sue Ellen is... Because she's kind of taken the high road for a lot of years now and kind of become an upstanding citizen on her own right.
She took it. She's a politician.
I know. It'll be interesting to see.
Which, how hard is it to rent trucks from someone else? That's another thing. Can't you rent some trucks?
Well, he has kind of a monopoly in Texas. They said there's another big drill going on right now in South Texas, and the other major provider of these trucks is down there being swamped right now for the next couple of weeks. So they said it's going to be, and they have until Friday.
Trucks?
I know, he could have gotten it from another state.
Out of state, it would have taken a few days, he said, and they just don't have the time. They have until Friday. So it kind of had to happen quickly.
Yeah.
And we know one thing about the Ewings for sure is they're not really patient people.
No.
When you have that kind of money, you don't need to be.
Exactly. Well, one thing, too, just to back up a little bit with Harris, is that, you know, after Anne breaks down and cries over this necklace, Bobby storms into his office, and Bobby doesn't punch him. Bobby slaps him.
Okay, no. Yeah, Bobby doesn't slap. He backhands him.
Yeah.
And that is so old school Dallas. That is so like from the 70s and 80s. Right. That's how people used to hit each other.
But that's so like emasculating, I think. It's worse than a punch.
It's when insulting.
It's so insulting.
Especially because every episode
was awesome. I always like to show you, you're not man enough to take a punch. I'm going
I used to slap you. AJ that way. That's sort of why we broke up.
I used to slap him too because he was into that.
Inappropriate.
Don't go there, Carrillo. But the funniest thing is that Bobby, like, backhands people, but his wife grabs rifles.
Yes!
I'm like, Bobby, who wears the pants in that relationship?
That's a lot.
I don't know. So, back to Rebecca.
Yes.
Rebecca. So she's, you know, she's trying to get back into the good graces of the family.
Mm-hmm.
She goes out to the South Fork Ranch. As she's leaving, she's walking out to the car, and she stands there, gets a little bit dizzy for a while, leans on her car, and touches her nose and realizes she has a bloody nose. Which, in my world, that clearly means she's pregnant. What else would it mean? Every time I get a bloody nose, I take a pregnancy test.
Right. Or she had
and
a
then
cocaine
I reach for a wire hanger. I'm kidding. But...
Apparently,
she's pregnant somehow. Like, how do you make the jump from I've got a bloody nose to I need to go get tested? Like, don't you have to ask to get tested for a pregnancy?
Well, if they're running a lot of tests and they can't figure out what's wrong with her and she had some symptoms, they're taking blood tests and stuff like that.
And that's
so
how
it would have shown up.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Because what doctor in his right mind would be like, oh, you have a bloody nose, I'll check for a pregnancy.
Right.
Yeah,
she's having a miscarriage through her nose. Like, what the heck is going on?
I understand. And we're women and we both were like, I don't get it.
I thought maybe, you know, you were going straight for the aneurysm.
That's what I thought. I thought like an aneurysm or something.
Something wrong with the brain. You know, I was thinking, you know, what is she really into? Has she been,
I thought
you know,
she's been partying a little bit too much.
Yeah.
A little too hard. Like, what's going on? But pregnancy, never would have thought that.
I was like hanging out with Lindsay Lohan. Like, what's she been up to?
You're going
to
draw that. She's so distraught over this marriage.
Right.
You know?
I did not see that coming. I did enjoy, though, that Elena took her to the hospital.
Yes.
And when they were at the hospital, mm-hmm. she told Elena, go ahead and go home. But then she stopped her and said to her, you know what? I'm really sorry that you and Christopher's relationship didn't work out. Because of things that I did indirectly. I had no idea when I met him that this had gone down, that mm-hmm. my brother Tommy had done this. I'm so sorry, and I'm happy that you guys now will have a chance to get back together.
Right.
Which I felt was as sincere as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I think she was also trying to test her a little bit to see... By Elena's reaction, you can tell if I'm Elena, I'm thinking... Or if I'm Rebecca, and I'm saying this to Elena, I'm thinking, well... I can tell by her reaction if they've slept together since we broke up a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So she might have been testing her a little bit as
well. She's also probably thinking, well, she was my maid of honor last week.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Right? So Elena says to her, she goes, that's not going to happen. And she's like, why? She goes, and why did she said, why? And then Elena said, because of Christopher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she was kind of like, So then Elena left, and Rebecca took a taxi, cab back to South Fork Ranch and to pick up her car. And as she got back, Christopher was coming back in his silent car. And they run into each other in the driveway. And she's like, before you say anything, I'm just getting my car and leaving. Like, all dramatic. And he's like, well, I just want to tell you, you know, what you brought us, that invoice earlier. It looks like it's legit. And she's like, did you guys find the deed? And he says, we're working on it.
Yes.
Which tells me he still doesn't trust her enough to let her know that. Because he's not sure if she's playing him or not yet.
Yeah.
But they did find the deed. The original.
The deed
to the Moulin Rouge.
The deed.
So.
Well, now knowing that, too, when Rebecca goes back and tells Tommy, you know, I'm tired of you thinking you can push me around. I'm done. We're over. This is enough. Take my rings. Go get whatever you can for them and get out of here. But now that he knows that they did find something, I'm wondering if that'll just make him stick around longer to see what else he can do.
Because he mentions, he's like, because apparently Christopher hadn't been on his computer for a while. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Christopher's on his computer again. Apparently they found a deed to the mineral rights on South Fork. So they must have found something that's what we were looking for through all these files. And all of a sudden it clicks in his head and he looks at Rebecca and she's just standing there dead silent. And he's like, you didn't.
Which, Rebecca, if you're trying to, like, help, like, have him change his computer out. That's what you should have told him first.
Yeah.
Let's cover your base. Just buy a new one. Let's cover your bases a little bit here.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Show up with a new MacBook Pro with a bow on it. Exactly.
Here you go.
Spill coffee on his computer. Yeah. Something.
Nope, she's not really thinking.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, if Tommy's going to want to be around more because she is pregnant and try to manipulate her to kind of get
because she says to him, I do love him. I am in love with him and I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Which, yes. I also took that scene with, who knows, I thought, what if he's the father?
Tommy? Like,
because, I mean, she didn't really say, it was very, very, I mean, we always thought that there was a little shenanigans maybe between them.
What if it's not really her brother, or what if it is her brother?
Ew.
And she's pregnant by him. It happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this show does take place in Texas.
Hey,
inappropriate.
Hey. I'm a Texan here. We don't do that.
Right, clearly.
But they could go a lot of ways
between
with that
first cousins.
Correct.
Which is legal in more states than gay marriage.
Don't go there. But he does make some valid points.
Yes.
It could get real dicey.
It could. It absolutely could. We've thought that from the get-go that they may or may not.
It gets more complicated
really
with each episode. It's kind of like the old saying, ignorance is bliss. The more I know, the less I feel like I know about the show.
Yeah, it just gets more and more confusing.
Thank God they already got picked up for season two, or I'd be like sweating. I'd be like breaking out in hives every day, like wondering if they're going to try to wrap this up in four more episodes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, the episodes just get better and better
as they go.
They really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm more enthralled every episode. I'm like, oh, what are they doing now?
Yeah.
You know, because like the first episode, it was so much.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh,
I'm
this is
really,
awesome.
Really proud of TNT, actually, because especially such an iconic show, there probably aren't many shows more iconic than Dallas.
Right.
And to tackle that material and to do it the way they have, it's a great show.
Right.
Every single episode has gotten better and better.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they do it. Not a lot. I mean, shows nowadays can't do that. And they're not being compared to anything. This is being compared to the original 14 seasons.
It's also shot so beautifully. It just looks like pristine. It looks gorgeous when you watch the show.
Yeah, it really does.
And the writing is so great. They've got great one-liners. It's not,
it's smart.
You know, it is. It's not as cheesy as I thought it might be.
Yeah.
So that's been really refreshing.
And they pay homage to the original characters all the time.
Yes.
There's such respect to the original show that I love, because you really could turn off all those fans very quickly if you don't acknowledge.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of other reboots or remakes or whatever you want to call them, they go into that problem. They try to change too quickly and like kind of get rid of like the old cast that maybe came in, and it just sort of just turns into something else. Which,
yeah, where's Jenny Garth on 90210? Why isn't she the counselor anymore?
Exactly.
I stopped watching it when she left. I got mad. I got through Shannon Daugherty leaving, but when Jenny Garth was gone, I was like, I'm done.
Done. I'm hitting it.
If Sue Ellen ever leaves the show, I'm not watching it again. Just kidding. I love JR too much.
Oh, well, yeah. But just the whole, but like we've talked about this millions of times, but just having them all together and them all working together and how they all mold together, the new characters, old characters, is just so good. And it's just, once again, the writers and them doing it and
there was one thing that was a little ridiculous in this episode. You know, I always have to bring out the ridiculous. Was when he was looking at whatever that signature was that Rebecca handed him.
Yes.
And he says, I recognize this signature. It's one of my old daddy's hunting buddies.
How would you remember that from your childhood?
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Who wrote that line?
Yes. That was every
I recognize the signature of one of my dad's old hunting buddies. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, well, what a memory.
It was his lawyer, though, right? One of his hunting buddies used to do the legal stuff for that.
I guess
that
might make a little more sense.
But that's just a stretch.
No, it is. You're right.
I just want to live in a family where, like, attorneys are part of your everyday life. You know, like, what?
Exactly.
I want to have that kind of money where I have to talk to my attorney every day.
Well, marry an attorney.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I could marry... who can I marry? Nikki Newman from The Young and the Restless.
Nice.
Yeah? Wait, she's not real. Sorry, Melody Thomas. So, we have a couple more things we want to wrap up this episode, but I think before we do that, we should probably take a commercial break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. No, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee! What a feeling! I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Sticking out in the back.
Here?
I feel like I have a chunk of hair sticking out. Do I?
It's from all those wigs you wear on the weekends.
I do. I love a good wig. I have a wig drawer. We'll talk about that some other episode. It's an actual fact. So, this episode, a couple things I think we learned from this episode. That you can win by being honest and working hard. As Bobby and Christopher show. Mm-hmm. They teach John Ross a very serious lesson. I don't know how long that lesson will last or if it'll stick, but... In the meantime.
Yeah, well, I don't think that he's mad. I think he's scared.
Yes.
There's
yes,
the difference. Because yes, sure. That was a look of, like, I'm dead.
Terror.
Like, right. You just killed me.
Do we think, though, that John Ross is more afraid of going to prison or of his daddy?
I think he's more afraid of the Venezuelans.
Yes. Right.
Well,
yeah, that's what I think.
That was my next option. I was getting to it. Clearly.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think he's really scared of those people. That
right.
Vincent scared the bejesus
out
of him.
Well, because he even says, when the PI guy comes in and says, do you think Christopher will really give that DVD to the police? He says, you know, if we don't get this oil out, it doesn't matter what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that goes back to, yeah, he's a little bit terrified of the deal that they made.
Yeah.
More so than I think anything else.
And Rebecca's pregnant.
We
all know how that works out on the Ewing family when somebody gets pregnant unexpectedly.
Yeah.
It can get real, real dicey, real interesting.
And right. We also learned that you never call a crazy woman crazy.
You don't call a crazy woman crazy. And what else did we learn? I thought I learned something else.
That you're all hat and no cattle?
Yeah. I love that. I do love that. And we also learned that the maid has a lot more control than we ever thought.
Yeah.
She lets anybody into the ranch.
Everyone walks on in.
Whatever. She's in control of that place.
And we learned that JR's henchman is not the guy from Harry Potter.
No.
Nope.
He
is
not.
And we learned that Elena just happens to just live on the ranch for no particular reason other than her mom works there.
She grew up there. It's like, it's her home.
Okay, what a gig. How many maids do you know that have their family get to live in a beautiful mansion on a ranch?
Right.
I want that job.
Only exactly. In Texas.
Or I want to be one of these guys who works on the ranch where they hand out hundreds to them to watch over and they grab their rifles.
Right. You're already on salary.
They're getting tipped on top of it.
What the heck?
It's an extra duty.
Apparently.
And she's precious.
She is. That's precious. It's so precious that he leaves her naked in a bathtub with some crazy woman
exactly.
running around.
Yeah, after searching the apartment or the house for 3 minutes.
not even
right. 3 seconds.
And going to the apartment and finding that Marta's not there. She has hauled butt out of that apartment and nobody knows where she's at.
And that apartment's like 200 square feet. I'd be like, I needed more room.
Well, it's a hotel room, wasn't it? Because he had like a key card.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's a hotel.
Mm. She's crazy.
Yeah.
She's going to pop up all over the place.
Yeah.
She's nuts. I like her.
We're going to see some boiling bunnies, I think, pretty soon.
Boiling bunnies.
Is that normal in your world?
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction.
I've never seen it.
Can we hashtag boiling bunnies?
Oh my gosh, have you never seen that?
Oh my God, I don't appreciate
Are
getting
you serious?
Screamed at. No, I've never seen
it. Neither have I.
Oh,
that's
Oh, really?
Good one.
Is that so shocking?
Yeah, it actually is.
Have you guys seen Boat Trip?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
I'm trying to think of the gayest movie I can think of all of a sudden. I don't know.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah.
Yes. But that movie's great.
That movie's amazing. Wong Fu.
Yes, I actually have seen.
So, do you guys have any news? What have we been hearing?
TV news.
What I do have is that I ran into Josh Henderson at the Playboy Mansion on
Monday
night. That's
definitely news.
Yes. Oh,
fantastic. Was there any shenanigans going on?
Well, he was actually kind of boring. I was a little, a little kind of depressed about
that. What about
at
the mansion in general?
Well, the mansion is never boring. Exactly. But he was there with a guy friend of his, and they were kind of running, walking around very casually. He's a little, a little bit
holding
more petite
hands.
Than...
Just kidding.
No, they were not holding hands.
I wish.
But
did you go say hi?
I did go say hi. He was really nice, and, he was really friendly with everyone. But I think he's a little, he's a little shy.
Everything I've heard about him, because I know a few people that know him, my sister's met him, she's hung out with him before, everybody says he's such a nice guy.
Nice. He was talking to everybody. A lot of people were stopping him, asking for pictures and all
I also keep hearing, keep reading that there's some animosity between him and Jesse Metcalf.
Yeah.
That they're not really getting along very well.
Yep, that was in Star
Magazine. Bit of a power struggle. I don't know how true that is, but I've read it on a few sites online. I wonder if there's anything to that or if they're just trying to stir up the pot.
I think they might just be trying to stir in the pot because these guys have been friends for a really long time. Yeah. They've known each other for years and years and years. He tweeted a picture recently of them from early 2000. They've known each other for a while. So
they used to both
hang
out at Saddle Ranch before Dallas, which that's that must have been
they're prepping for the show.
They're preparing, exactly.
Riding the mechanical bull.
Having a Texas tea.
Can we not advertise for Saddle Ranch
right
now?
True, that's true.
Please. Let's move on to predictions. I'm going to start with you, Ryan Allen Carrillo.
Me? Now, let's see.
You're After Buzz TV.
You can talk over it.
Oh, sorry. I'm still fairly new. No, I think there's going to be... I'm hoping, because JR, I live for him, that there's going to be some more Cliff Barnes action in Vegas. There's going to be something with that storyline is being very hidden, and for the fact that he has a henchman with him shows that there's some shenanigans hopefully going to happen there soon.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you, Kelly?
I don't know. I think Sue Ellen's going to go down this dirty road she doesn't really want to go down. I think she's going to take the money, and then all of a sudden she's going to be wheeling and dealing left and right, and I think she absolutely will be the Texas governor, and then it's just going to get crazier.
Mm-hmm. I hope she starts drinking again. That would be fun. No.
But to go on to what you're saying, and she always says to John Ross, I have your back. You ever notice that? All the time.
Even when
so
she
I
says
wouldn't
no.
be surprised.
Yeah. And then goes back and rekindles and does what he wanted her to do in the first place, so...
Her character could very easily spiral out of control because she was a train wreck for so many years. And that's real life too. Addicts and stuff, they go through, horrible relapses. And that would be...
Again, it happens to Nikki Newman all the time. Every few years on Young and the Restless, she goes back to rehab for drinking.
Happened to me on 4th of July.
Apparently happened to everyone.
I still made it, though.
I really had to work.
I threw up in that bathroom and still did the show.
My predictions are, as we come to the end of season one, we've got four more episodes. They've been a little bit light on the original characters the last couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. Just bits and pieces. I think this first season is going to end with big, big storylines for all of the major characters. I think that you're going to find out what's going on JR and Cliff Barnes. I think that Sue Ellen is going to be right smack dab in the middle of all this. And I think that Bobby will be, too. I'm really excited about that because they've been playing these periphery characters that I think they've had to really build up in the middle of the season since it's such a short first season because they really need you to latch on to these characters, Rebecca and Elena and John Ross and Christopher. But I think when it comes down to the end of the season, I think these original characters are going to show these newbies how it's done because nobody does cliffhangers like Dallas.
Right.
So I'm excited. We've got four episodes left. We'll be back here same time, same place next week. You guys can follow me on Twitter at _AJ Gibson.
At Lula Chen.
Again, it's not rocket science,
looking
people.
Over here,
come on.
You can follow me at Lula Cherry Films on Twitter. You can follow me at Kelly with an IE079.
And me, Ryan Allen Carrillo, 2 R's and 2 L's.
Thanks for stopping by, guys. We'll see you again next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz y'all later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.